There is a word from the Lord on today, praise God, and it shall come from the 18th chapter of the book of Proverbs, as well as, praise God, Matthew, the 4th chapter, the 4th verse, Proverbs 18 and 21, and Matthew 4 and 4 are our foundational scriptures. As always, we'll be reading according to the New American Standard Version. Proverbs 18 and 21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Matthew 4 and 4 says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is our privilege, it is our honor, it is our blessing, as well as our task today, to share with you all from our theme and thesis entitled Communicating Like a Christian. Praise God. Communicating like a Christian. Praise God. And our sub-theme today in part 9 of this series will be Christians communicate, praise God, godly attitudes and actions. Christians communicate godly attitudes and actions. Praise God. Our foundational scriptures reveal to us the power of words. In Proverbs 18 and 21, we see the power of our words, the things that we speak. The Lord says that death and life is in the power of the tongue. So we have power. That word power also represents authority. A person has the authority to bring to themselves life, to speak to others, life. But the opposite of that is there's also power for death in the same tongue. And for us, it's critical to be able to delineate, if you will, which one is death and which one is life. Bishop, how do we know when we're speaking death or when we speak life? What words reflect death and what words reflect life? Well, see, that's the easy part. That's what takes us to Matthew 4 and 4. Because God wants us to know that his words are life. The things that oppose his word is death. That seems pretty easy. In other words, if I had a short story to give, I'd say read the word of God. Read the Holy Bible. Read God's word to know what his thoughts are, to know what his ways are, to know what his words are, and then adopt his thoughts. Take on his ways. Speak his words. And those thoughts, those ways, those words will always equate to life. God tells us to love one another. The person who would say to, who would seek to oppose the word of God and come against God's word would then promote hate. Well, once again, loving one another is life. Yeah. People hating each other is death. When we agree with God and his word, we're going to produce life for ourselves and those around us. The person who chooses to oppose God's word and do the opposite of God's word is producing for themselves death as well as for those around. God says that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word
that proceeds from his mouth.
So it's important for us as we focus in on our series theme and thesis that if we're going to communicate like a Christian, that we understand a simple, clear distinction. Now, God sought to take us a little deeper here today with part 9 of this series because we said that Christians communicate godly attitudes and actions. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, how much do you believe actions and attitudes are worth? If a picture, just a mere picture, is worth 1,000 words, how many more words are represented in the attitudes and actions that someone has? If someone walks into a room and people smile and are warm and welcoming, looking forward to receive them or rejoicing, their very expressions reflect their attitudes. Their smile represents their actions of warmth and welcome and receive. Attitudes and actions reflect words. So God wants us to understand that words are not just expressed in what we speak, but words are expressed in the attitudes and actions that we have. If a parent tells a child, go clean up your room, and they, man, I'll do it. Or even if they didn't say the words, and they stormed off, upset, just because they were given some instruction by the parent, that attitude speaks more than 1,000 words. It speaks 1,000,000 words. Attitudes and actions need to reflect for Christians, a godliness. Christians communicate godly attitudes and actions. If a son or daughter calls themselves a Christian, a follower of Christ, and Jesus is Lord of their life, they've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, they're old enough to start walking in it. They're old enough to start living like a Christian. So that their attitude and their action reflects God's words to honor your father and your mother. That all might be well with you and that your days may be long upon this earth according to Galatians the 6th chapter. Or Ephesians the 6th chapter. As well as what God spoke in the 10th commandments in the book of Exodus. It was the first commandment with promise. It is the 5th commandment, praise God. It came ahead of murder. Oh, somebody don't. I don't know if you're understanding me. I'll do my best. God put such a high priority on honoring father and mother. He put it as a commandment ahead of thou shalt not kill. Good God. He put it after the commandments that he spoke concerning himself. After God got through addressing himself, he then addressed the attitudes and actions, the words, the deeds toward the father and mother. First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before. The second commandment, thou shalt not make any graven images unto yourself. The third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And after God got through laying down protocol, oh, somebody better hear me, for himself, he came then to the father and the mother. Good Lord. After he got through honoring himself, he said that honor is to be bestowed upon father and mother. Let me tell you something. Somebody's going to make me preach. This ain't even, I ain't even trying to preach this. I'm going to teach this. I'm just going to take a moment out to teach this. You show me the attitude and actions that a child has toward their parents, and I'll show you a child who's either on their way to a blessed life,
yeah,
or on their way to a cursed one.
Amen.
They're on their way to a blessed life if they have attitudes and actions that honor their father and mother. If they're dishonoring their father and mother, they're on their way to a lot of unnecessary trouble. Somebody better hear me today. I said they're on their way to a lot of unnecessary. See, sometimes children get to a point and they get a little age on. Their bodies start doing different things. You better hear me today. And if they ain't careful, they'll lose control, but they think they know better than everybody. They think they know what's best for them better than God. God say, honor your father and mother. Guess what he was doing when he said that? Saving them a whole lot of trouble. Because father and mother, they've been where they think they go. Where they trying to go. Father and mother, they've achieved and accomplished what they're yet to achieve and accomplish. Father and mother have made mistakes that they wish they hadn't made, and they're trying to show the child the right way so that they don't do it the wrong way. So that they don't have to experience the unnecessary hurt and pain and agony of having done it wrong. Somebody better hear me today. Christians, communicate. And make no mistake, it is communication. The attitude that, like I said, when somebody walks in the room and people are happy to see them and with a smile on their face. Have you ever walked in a room and folk mean mug something? Like, have you ever walked in somewhere and folk just looking all frowning like, as if all of a sudden something went bad under their nose? I mean, for no reason at all? Who wants to be there? That kind of attitude and action does not reflect God. It does not reflect Christ. God tells us to love one another, to pray for one another, to be kind to one another, to honor one another. That's what God teaches us. So once again, as our sub-theme and thesis here for part 9 of the series, Christians communicate godly attitudes and actions. Christians communicate godly attitudes and actions. We're going to take a moment here. Because see, I was going to fly through this. But not only am I not going to fly through this message, because I was going to get through to part 10. But not only am I not going to fly through here, I'm going to walk. And I might even bring it to a problem. Because we're going to teach God's word. That's what we're here for. Amen? Amen. To learn the word of God. Let's turn to Genesis, the 4th chapter. See, somebody has to make me pray. Good God Almighty. In Genesis, the 4th chapter, praise God, we're going to begin by reading verse 1. Genesis 4, verse 1. And as always, we're reading according to the New American Standard Version. Verse 1 says, now the man had relations with his wife Eve. And she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. And again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance failed. Do you see the attitude here? Mm-hmm. Anybody paying attention to the attitude? See, people who don't want to be corrected, huh, will develop an attitude at the moment, at the instant of correction. God rejected his offering in order to correct him so that he would know how to offer unto the Lord. But instead of him receiving the correction, he developed an ugly, ungodly, unchristian attitude. He got angry with God for correcting him. The scripture reveals here that he became angry and his countenance failed. Body language communicates words as well. Facial expressions communicate words as well. But the good thing is that guess what? Nothing's hidden from the sight of God. So it says here that he did not receive Cain's offering. He said he had no regard for it. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. His attitude changed. His look changed. His body language changed. Because he was corrected. Because God was trying to teach him something. Because God was desiring to train him in righteousness. Well, why was God trying to train? Why would God not accept his offering? Let's just look at this. If God had accepted his offering, how would he know right from wrong? How could he understand how to do better? How could he gain knowledge and wisdom to where he could grow as a man in his life, in his calling, had he not been corrected? The scripture says that God chastens those that he loves. God only corrects people that he loves. But the scripture also revealed that when a person corrects a wise person, that they'll become wiser. But if they make the mistake and correct the fool, now a fool begins to hate them. Attitudes and actions need to be godly because that's what Christians communicate. Verse 6 says, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Why all of a sudden do you have this attitude of irreverence? This attitude of rejection? My job, God is letting me know, I'm not rejecting you. I'm rejecting what you offered. I'm rejecting the effort that you put forth and the heart and mindset that was behind it. If folk can't be taught anything, can't be taught better, then they can't do better. Don't ever despise correction from legitimate authority. Are you hearing me? Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? Verse 7 says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? I love that phrase.
Yeah,
that phrase, if you do well, literally translates out of the Hebrew, if you be cheerful. In other words, Cain was not a cheerful giver. He was not a willing giver. He was a grudging giver. Abel gave of his very best, the fatlings of his flock. Cain just went and grabbed some stuff and gave it to God and expected God to accept it. I don't know if you've ever seen someone who has given someone, extended someone some money, I saw a person once that man was beggarly and was in need. Threw it on the ground here. What kind of attitude is behind that? What kind of action is behind that? To throw it in the dirt and say, here, take that. As opposed to with a kindness and a godliness of heart, mind to extend to a person to be used of God to bless them. The word of God says that those who give to the poor lends to the Lord. Somebody better hear me. Well, man, that's a word. God says those who give to the poor lend to the Lord. And God won't remain a debtor to any man. Amen, somebody? In other words, the person who gives to the poor, God will repay them. But for that brother to throw it down in the dirt, wow. I've seen some folk come into churches that way. I'm sick and tired of this preacher. Churches, all they want is money. Here. Keep your money. Let me see if I can say that in a different way. Keep your money. Because it won't do you any good.
That's right.
You gave in vain. Mm-hmm. That's what I would tell that brother or sister. If that's the attitude that one gave with. God says he loves a cheerful giver, according to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. He says he loves a cheerful giver. God blesses a cheerful giver. The person who gives grudgingly gets nothing back from the Lord. Keep it. You're going to need it. Because God can drive anywhere. Amen, somebody. I say he can drive anywhere. Yeah, you might want to keep it because you're going to need it. That's what I would have to say to that person. Yeah, he says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? If you would give cheerfully, it would change the way you look. Like my mama used to say, some folks look like they've been sucking on persimmons.
Yeah.
Some of y'all like came from the country sucking on lemons. we just get a different fruit.
Yeah.
Folk know about lemons. Only folk from the country know about persimmons. Praise God. You got to be old school and country to know about that. But the bottom line here is that person who been sucking on something sour got a sour look on their face. Huh? The Lord said, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? Would not you look different? Would not you reflect a different attitude and different actions if you were giving cheerfully? In other words, God was letting him know that his heart was exposed.
Yeah.
And if you do not do well, he says sin is crouching at the door. Huh? God said the person who does not give cheerfully, he says sin is crouching at the door. What is sin, Bishop Job? By definition, real simple. Disobedience to God. A person who opposes God and his word. This man was opposing God and his word to honor God with that which is first. To put God above everyone and everything. He put himself above God. He saved what was best for himself and gave God just anything. Abel, on the other hand, gave God his best. He honored God as God. The way a person gives, the attitudes that they have, determines how they view God, how they look at God, whether they honor God as God in his position as our maker and our creator. So he says here, if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. And then look at what God says about sin. I'm going to throw this in for free. This is what God says about sin. He says, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Wow. God is telling him that sin wants to eat him alive. Sin wants to eat him like an acid. But he tells him he must master it. See, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. You know, acid can be a good thing. Acid is what we have in our batteries to help extend the cell life that keeps us cranking our cars every time we go out there. It got acid in that battery, okay? But if acid is not handled properly, it can injure a person, okay? So God is telling him sin, this acid of sin desires him. Sin wants to get all over him, is what he tells me. Sin wants to take over his life. But God is telling him he must master it. In other words, he must resist disobedience. He's got to control disobedience that desires to take place in his life and live his life in obedience, that the blessings of God may be sure in his life. But this is a portrait in scripture of what it means to have a godly attitude versus an ungodly attitude. It just so happens in the area of giving. Let's move on and let's go to Genesis 31. God has another picture, portrait, that he wants us to see. In Genesis 31, praise God, in verse 1, we see another aspect, if you will, a portrait concerning attitude. The scripture says here in Genesis 31, now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belonged to our father, he has made all his wealth. Now, before we go any further, let me give you a little background. Laban was Jacob's uncle. And Jacob's uncle tricked him. He was willing to work 7 years for his uncle. And his uncle tricked him into working 14. And if that wasn't bad enough, every time Jacob's livestock would grow and prosper, he would take and switch his livestock out with Jacob's livestock. So this man was a trickster, if you will. Okay? He was pulling tricks on Jacob. And then if that isn't bad enough, then his family had the obscure view of somehow that Jacob did their daddy wrong, when in effect it was exact opposite. Anybody ever experienced anything like that? When folk get it twisted, folk doing other people wrong, and they got the nerve to be mad at them for communicating that it's not acceptable to be done wrong. Isn't that something? So these folk were saying, that what belonged to their father has made all this wealth, which was incorrect. Verse 2 says, and Jacob saw the attitude of Laban. Now check this out. He saw the attitude of Laban. Can I put a pin where I'm going and give us a blessing? Watch people's attitudes. Now, I'm going to say it again. I didn't say to listen to people's words. People's attitudes will always, or let me put it this way, will be a truer reflection of their words than the words themselves. Are you hearing me? Watch folks' attitudes. Folk looking at folk like they want to do them something and talking about I love you. That don't seem right. That don't come across right. You see? So he says here in verse 2, and Jacob saw the attitude of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. Wow. His attitude had changed.
Yeah.
See? He says here, verse 3, then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. In other words, get away from folk with the wrong attitude. Get away from folk with ungodly attitude. Now, sometimes that's not permissible, or that's not practical. Because sometimes it can be right there in one's own family. So they ain't got no choice but to live with it. But we'll deal with that at another time. But he told Jacob, get away from him. Because his attitude has changed. Now watch this now. Verse 4. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field and said to them, I see your father's attitude, that it is not friendly toward me as formerly, but the God of my father has been with me. Okay? His attitude is no longer the same. It's changed, it's shifted. And that word attitude here in Scripture literally translates out of the Hebrew the word face. It literally translates face. In other words, his facial makeup is different. A person is communicating with what's on their face. Whether it's a smile, or whether it's a sneer, or whether it's a grimace, or whatever it may be, a person is talking with their face. If a parent is giving a child something to eat, and the child starts closing their eyes and reflecting images of pain, even if the child can't talk, they're communicating with the parent by what's on their face. The parents feed the child smiling, happy. They might be a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months old, don't matter. Don't even have to be able to say a word. Child smiling, just as happy. Guess what? The parent's going to be happy too. Attitude is communicated by the face. The face communicates. Okay? It communicates. Now watch this now. So he says here, and he said to them, I see your father's attitude that it is not friendly toward me, verse 5 of this 31st chapter of Genesis, but the God of my father has been with me. Verse 6, and you know that I have served your father with all my strength. In other words, you're a witness that I treated him right. Okay? Yet your father has cheated me. See the truth coming out? Yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. Now you hear that? Now he didn't change his wages 10 times. However, God did not allow him to hurt me. Oh, if I had some time. Huh? If I had some time. Let's put a pin in where we're going for a minute. If the scripture says, the word of God decrees and declares that God for you is more than the whole world against you. It don't matter what people's attitudes are. It doesn't matter what their actions are. Doesn't matter what their words are. I remember this one woman of God. She got promoted on her job. And the woman who was above her, all of a sudden, her attitude changed. She wasn't happy about it. She was angry about the fact that somebody under her was getting promoted and she didn't have anything to do with it. And she felt like what the promotion that the person was getting was too good for them. But she didn't think her position of supervisory management was too good for her. But for somebody to get promoted under her, that was too good. Never mind, this woman had been labored and taught and went and got her education. Amen, somebody. Amen. And when it prepared herself for the blessing that God had for her. But yet this woman made a choice to have an ugly attitude. If you really want to know who folk really are, mess around and let the Lord bless you. Amen, somebody. If you really want to know people's real heart and who people really are from within, let the Lord bless you. And that'll tell you who folk are. See, because a Christian, as Christians, we rejoice with those who rejoice.
That's right.
And we sorrow with those who sorrow.
That's right.
See,
that's communicating, huh, godly attitudes and actions as Christians. Yeah, when people are celebrating, we celebrate with them. When good things are happening in their lives, we rejoice with them. And when bad things happen, we sorrow with them.
That's right.
That's communicating as Christians godly attitudes and actions. But even though this man did his best to hurt and to hold Jacob back, God kept on blessing him. And because Laban couldn't stand it, because he couldn't steal from him fast enough, God told him to just shift. Get away from it. Get away from it. Oh, if I had time, I'd show tell you. Get away from folk who can't stand to see you blessed. Let's put the pen out and keep going. Yeah, Christians communicate godly attitudes and actions. Praise God. If you will, let's look in the book of Luke, or the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. God is teaching us, praise God, how to reflect Christian attitudes and actions. Praise God, how to communicate that. Luke, the first chapter, and let's look at verse 13. Praise God, verse 13. The scripture says this. And this is just to give you a backdrop. This is when God was getting ready to bless Zacharias and his wife with John the Baptist as a son. This is where this picks up at here in verse 13. Luke chapter 1 verse 13 says, "But the angel said to him," referring to Zacharias, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." Okay? Good news. Verse 14. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor." Boy, I could preach y'all some stuff about that. I think I'm gonna let it go. He says, "And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." All right, I put a pen here for a moment. Can I go on and throw something in for free? Folk can't be filled with Johnny juice and Jesus at the same time. Amen, somebody? Folk can't be filled with these other spirits, huh? And be filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. The scripture says he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, Bishop, that begs the question, can a saved person end up filled with something they ain't supposed to be filled? Yes, they can. But only one can influence their life at a time. Either the Holy Ghost will influence their life, or even whatever they've been drinking will influence their life. John the Baptist did no drinking. Huh? Amen, somebody. So that the Holy Ghost was controlling and directing him at all times. Anybody got that blessing for free?
Amen.
All right. Let's keep going. Pull a pin. He says here, while yet in his mother's womb. Luke 1:15. Verse 16 says, "And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And it is he who will give, or who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." See, whether people's attitudes are right or not is whether or not God can go to work in their lives. You've heard someone say that attitude determines altitude. See, God opposes, amen, somebody, the pride, but the word reveals that he exalts the humble. Attitude dictates whether or not God is not only able to come into a person's life, but even once he's in their life, whether he's able to work in their life. And guess what God is constantly working to do in the life of the believer? Not only for his glory, because when we do the things that give God glory, it results in God giving us blessings. God wants to give blessings to us and get blessings through us, so that everything that we touch turns to gold. I don't know about you, but I'm into turning things into gold business. I want to be used of God to be a blessing. I want to fulfill the Abrahamic promise and blessing that those who bless him will be blessed and those who curse him will be cursed. I want the Psalm 1 promise, that Psalm the first division, I want that promise that says that whatever I touch will prosper. Whatever I do will prosper. I want everything I touch to turn to gold. But that comes, God said, from having the right attitude. He said that when John the Baptist was coming, that he was going to take the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. Righteous people have an attitude, and unrighteous folk have an attitude. Christians have attitudes that reflect Christ, and those who are not Christians or not godly have attitudes that don't reflect Christ. We want to be consistent as Christians in reflecting, in communicating a godly attitude, because it reflects God in our lives, it gives him glory, and it blesses us and the people around us. And that's what we want to be about, being used of God to bring him glory and to bless the people who are connected to our lives. Philippians, the second chapter, takes this a step further. Philippians 2, starting at verse 5. This theme concerning attitudes. Praise God. Philippians 2, verse 5. It says this. It says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? Like, wow, I never knew God thought so much about attitude. See, attitude, once again, and like we say in the Old Testament, in Genesis 31, it reflects the face. But attitude is not only just revealed in the face, it's revealed in body language, period. Period. Because it reflects something here. This word attitude, have this attitude in yourselves. This word attitude, translated out of the Greek, literally means frame of mind. Amen, somebody. Translate, it can mean mindset.
Yeah.
The way that a person's mind is set. The way that they frame things. What their perspective is. You can have two different people. You can walk up Lord might lead a person and say, hey, you've got $100 bill. Hey, I just felt ready to give that to you. Person is never forget. Grateful. And you walk up to another person and hand them the same $100 bill. But if he had money to do this here, he could have gave me more.
Oh, yeah.
But what you giving me is for?
Yeah.
You got another one? I mean, listen to me.
Okay.
Listen to me. Attitudes are very different. Because it reflects a perspective. You got some people who have grateful hearts, and you got some ungrateful people out there. You got some people whose hearts are after God, and they have godly hearts. And therefore they have a godly mindset. And then you've got some people who have ungodly hearts.
person walk up and have them $100 bill, they like to bust them over the head and take their whole wallet. Based on mindset. You got somebody who got a gangster opportunist mindset and focused on nobody but themselves. They think they're the only one deserves something. Nobody else needs that. That's why a thief got that mindset. Amen, somebody. See, Satan, that's a satanic mindset. The scripture says that Satan is out to steal, kill, and destroy. Person who think they got the right to have something that belongs to somebody else, that's a satanic mindset. Yeah. Ain't got no problem stealing from another person. Matter of fact, they get happy about it. Because they was able to take something that belonged to somebody else. The scripture says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. God wants Christians to have and communicate godly attitudes and actions. Amen, anybody?
Amen.
Verse 6 says, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Here he is God, but yet in this next verse 7 says, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Wow. See, a humble attitude makes sacrifices for others. A Christian attitude suffers that others might succeed, sacrifices that others may have success. That's a Christian attitude. Christians live for the masses and not just for the minute or the moment. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Jesus, the Christ, humbled himself, took on the form of a bondservant in the likeness of men, although he was God, in order to save our souls, transform our lives, bless our generations. Wow. God says that's what a Christian attitude looks like. People are always doing things. They're living their life in such a way that it not only gives God glory, but that results in the blessing in the lives of other people. Wow. That's the way, that's a Christian attitude. They want to be used of God to bless others. They don't live life as in what's in it for me. What do I get? How can I satisfy me? How can I make me happy? And that's the only person they should make it happy is themselves. Everybody else can suffer long as they get what they want. They get to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, the way they want to do it. And to the wind with what hurts everybody else. Christians communicate godly attitudes and actions. Look at 1 Peter, if you would. The 5th chapter. God continues this same word of humility. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 1, says it this way. He says, therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Wow. What a blessing. God is communicating to Christian leadership the attitudes that they need to have, which will reflect the actions that they need to take. Don't have the attitude and mindset, he's telling them, that
folk have to obey you. You got to make people do anything. He says, these people, he says, not under compulsion, exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God. If God is not making people do stuff, what right does man have to do? Mama used to tell me all the time, she said, baby, listen. She said, in this life, nobody has to do anything for you. So the least thing somebody do, the least that can be done, is to say thank you. Is to be grateful. Have a grateful heart. Have a grateful mindset. Reflect a grateful attitude. Because nobody has to do anything. Yeah, according to the will of God and not for sordid gain. In other words, don't have a mindset of money. You're going to serve in Christian leadership. You don't serve for money. Amen, somebody. He's teaching leadership how to, the mindset, the attitude that they need to have if they're going to serve Christ. You got some folks that won't even preach if folk don't give them so much money, amount of money. I'll preach for free. I'll preach if one person wants to hear it. I'll preach if a million wants to hear it. I'll preach if they got 1 cent or $1 or if they got no cent and no dollar. I'll preach God's word because that's what he's called me to do.
Right.
And that's what Christians, that's the attitude, that's the mindset that God expects Christians to have. Not a what's in it for me attitude. Not a what have you done for me lately attitude. But what can I do for God? How can I serve the Lord? How can I please God? How can I bless the Lord? How can I bless his people? Yeah, he says, not for sordid gain. But with eagerness. Verse 3 says, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. God says you lead by example. Listen to me. I want to give a word here. This is for free. To those who are in leadership at any level in the body of Christ. And if you're a parent, if you're a husband or a wife, you're in leadership. If you're a parent, you're in leadership. If you're an usher, you're in leadership. If you're a server, you just serve and punch off of a wall, you're in leadership. Amen, somebody. So let me give a word to leaders and to leadership. God, the greatest thing that we have to give to those whom we serve, as we serve the Lord and those who we minister to, is our example. That's the greatest thing that we have to offer as leaders. Our example. And that means that above everyone and above all, those in leadership must reflect, must communicate a Christian godly attitude and actions. Pull the pen and let's go it on. He says, verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. God said that's a reward for your service. He says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. Huh? God is teaching young people the attitude that they should have, the actions they should take. See, we learned that back when I was growing up as a kid, that was a part of the culture.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go to church to get that. We were taught to respect our elders. A neighbor can come out and tell you to stop acting up in your yard.
That's right.
Now they have somebody to come. Mm-hmm. better mind your own business. Not only will a child get smart with them, the parent liable to go over and whoop up on them. Just to try to tell the child what's right. Back when I was growing up, that was expected. Back when I was growing up, any teacher, every teacher in the building had a goal. Oh, somebody don't know what that is. Had a whooping too. Amen. So every teacher in the building had a pattern, and that pattern, they had that pattern for a reason. Any kid needed a pop to get it. That attitude was reflected in the neighborhood, and it was reflected at the neighborhood school. And you know what? Kids got there and got their books. They learned and they did what was right. And if that wasn't enough deterrent, they'd get on the phone. And no child in that school wanted the parent, wanted that teacher to pick up that telephone. Because if they called home, it was on. Now you got children, call my mama, call my daddy, so that they can come up there and jump on the teacher. Times have changed. Times have changed. But the scripture says that younger folk ought to be subject to older folk, ought to be submissive to older folk. God says that's the attitude of a Christian youth, of a Christian young person. They're respectful to those who are in authority over them. And they recognize authority in those who are older and in leadership positions. In the community, the church, the school, or wherever they're at. Yeah, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. God is telling us the attitude to have toward each other, an attitude of humility. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he might that he may exalt you at the proper time. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Yeah.
God cares enough to teach us to have an attitude like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
An attitude of humility. Humility toward God. Humility toward each other. Humility toward authority. Humility toward leadership. Are you walking with me? Humility toward older people. That used to be a benefit. And it still can be, and it must be, in the house of God and amongst the people of God. That any older person in this church community, we love all of our children here. They are family.
Yeah.
If little Johnny is sticking his hand in the door or doing something else, he ain't got to get away from that, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We expect of each other to look out for each other and for our children.
Right.
Not, don't tell my child what to do. What a foolish attitude. What a destructive attitude. It does not reflect Christ. It does not reflect God. God wants us to communicate like Christians, as Christians, to communicate godly attitudes and actions.